You know, sometimes you will hear, especially on Christian radio, you'll hear one of the announcers will say, you know, the year end's about to end, and you'll hear this in church too. So if you want to get a financial write-off, give an offering. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Well, this is December. This means that it's the last calendar month of the year. It's the end of your financial year income. Nobody likes to talk about that because now you got to get ready for April the 15th. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, and it's the end of the progress that you could make with God during this year. And it's the end of the year of, it's the end of accomplishments that you could accomplish during the year. It's just the end of a lot of things. And, you know, most people don't like that very much. But let me ask you a question. Are you finishing this year well? You know, the end means a lot of things. A lot of people don't like to talk about it, but dispensationally or you might want prophetically, if you want to call it that. We're in the last days, so we're near the end of time. You know, when you're talking about that, then a lot of people get negative. Well, man, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that, and now it's the end of the year and the opportunity's gone. You know, and somebody said, man, I just needed a little more time. That's the end and to get this finished. And finally somebody just says, well, it's the end. Nothing I can do about it. There's a lot of people that intended, they come to the end of the year, oh, man, I intended to save so much money every month, and now it's the end of the year, and I haven't accomplished it. I haven't done that. So, you know, end, when you think about the end, it brings a lot of thoughts into mind. Little story. Two longtime friends got in an argument over something, and they kept at it until they just got so upset they were yelling and screaming at one another. And finally one guy yelled at the other guy, I told you many times that we would be buddies to the end. And it's the end. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting. And patience is better than pride. That's the new NLT. The New King James says, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud spirit. I just want to talk about that first part in the NLT. Finishing is better than starting. There's a lot of people that start, but they never finish. That's why you say finishing is better than starting. You know, we hear people say the end is coming. Usually, if the end is coming, then there's a new beginning. Hello. You know, if you look at it, oh, this is the end. No, it's not the end. This is the beginning. Sometimes when a loved one or somebody goes on, everybody say, it's the end. No, it's not. That's only the beginning for them. Hello, come on now. And I believe that when we talk about this end, we need to stay on the positive. Always think on the positive side. My dad used to say, stay on the positive. I see Tony Cook shaking his head. Him and Dad had a lot of time together. That was one of his sayings, wasn't it, Tony? Stay on the positive. You know, we must learn to start, but we've got to learn to finish too. You know, it's one thing to start something, it's something else to finish it. And there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that have started a project and it's still not finished. They get busy doing other things. Actually, I think as we look at Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 there, I think that we need to realize that God wants us to be better at the end than we were when we started with Him. He wants us to have that more abundant life. You know, you might want to ask yourself, in the spiritual world and in the natural world, am I better off now in December than I was 12 months ago in January? Hello now, I see the wheels turning. You know, you maybe can answer that several different ways. You know, and if you can't answer it in the positive, maybe you need to make some adjustments. A lot of times, we need to adjust our attitudes about things. Have you ever been with people and they looked at everything? Everything was negative. You could mention something that was good. Maybe you're doing something and they say, yeah, but you don't know about, what about this? What if this happens? Well, yeah, that's a possibility. And, you know, some people, that's just the way they are. Now, I want to talk about some things tonight that I think that we need to look at as we're coming toward the end of the year. And maybe we need to make some adjustments. And, you know, we need to reflect on our ways. Look at our ways. Now I'm going to read from Haggai in the NLT, the first chapter, verse number 5. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies say. Look at what's happening to you. You've planted much, but you've harvested little. You've eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of the armies of heaven, look at what's happening to you. The New King James in that verse 7 says, consider your ways. Now, evidently, when we look at this, and that's happening, something's wrong somewhere. Because that should not be the normal for God's people. He wants them to have a better life. Now here's the situation. Israel had gotten where they were more toward their own pleasures and doing their own things than they were following God. A lot of people don't like to read over in the Old Testament. They don't like to read about Israel. Well, Paul said that everything that happened to them happened as examples for us. Well, the examples are for what not to do and for what to do. If you ever go and you study back there, read those those books of the historical books, you will find out that Israel was up and down, up and down. Long as everything's going good, they got, oh man, this is great, everything's great, you know. And they tend to forget about God and what he wants them to do. And they drift out, get in trouble, they come, oh Lord, help us. You know, I'm just paraphrasing it. And he always helped them out. Right now, their attitude had become more toward their self and doing what pleasured them than doing what they were supposed to, that God had told them to do. And of course, we can go back in the New Testament, seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. That's the way the NLT reads it. You know, many people are always believing God for finances and stuff. Well, that's okay. You can do that. I'll do that sometimes. But really, if you really, and Dad used to say this, if people would really get involved and do what God seek first, give the offerings, give their tithes and all of that, that they wouldn't have to believe God so much for that, because if you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll add those things to you. You don't have to believe for them. Hello. You know, so, you know, the Israelites were neglecting the things of God. They were on the opposite side. And you see people do that today. You see some people that, man, they're really on fire for God, and then next thing you know, everything's going good for them, and they get a boat, and I've seen this happen. And they, you know, they start missing church ever so often, and pretty soon it's more than ever so often. So they get to church about once a month, and they're on the lake the other three Sundays of the month. Well, God don't mind you having fun. He don't mind you going to the lake. He don't mind you fishing. He don't mind you skiing and all that. But if you're putting all of that ahead of him, then you need to stop and adjust. Come on. You know, what he's trying to say is, hey, you're missing all of these things that you need in life. And if you just do what I told you to do and follow me like I told you to, then you wouldn't be in this condition. And my dad was funny. And sometimes he could be really blunt with people, and other times you didn't know what he was saying, because he would not be blunt with you. He would tell you a story. And you're supposed to figure out. And I see Tony laughing. But he would do that. And you're supposed to figure out the answer. But one time he is talking, it's a minister. I forget who it was now. I just remember the incident. And this guy was griping about, well, he didn't have this and he didn't have that and he didn't have the other. And my dad just looked at him straight in the face. I'll never forget this. And because Dad usually didn't approach people like that. But he said, it's your own fault. And the guy sort of, he said, what do you mean? He said, you're more interested in the guy worked. Now I do remember who it was. He worked for a company and pastored the church at the same time, and the church was doing really good. He'd started working there when he was just building the church, but now the church could take care of him, and he had kept working at the job, because he was in a high position and it had a good retirement plan. And Dad told him, he said, it's your own fault. I do remember my father-in-law, he launched, or we called it pioneering back in the day, but he launched three different churches, and he was a general contractor, and he built the church both from the spiritual standpoint and the natural standpoint, because the building wasn't there. They built a building. Well, in order to keep his family going and have the money to do this, he built houses on the side, you know, in like a development. He would buy the lots and build the houses and sell them, and then use the money to help build the church with. Well, he did that. I was his associate pastor for 6 years, and he did that last church he was at. That's the way he built it. Well, the last house he built, he couldn't sell it. He couldn't sell it. And finally, the Lord said to him, are you going to pastor the church, or are you going to build houses? He moved into that house and lived in it till he went to glory. Well, you see, he could have kept going that direction, but then when God has things and tells you, even when he tells you things in the Word of God about forsake not the assembling of yourself together, and you don't come to church, and you don't come to, now I'm getting off here, I better shut up. But I'm talking about why you are in the position that you don't have what you need. Maybe you need to look at yourself. Maybe you need to check up and see, where am I missing it? My dad always said, anytime that he didn't have what he needed or things weren't going right, he always did it checking up on himself. Because the problem's not on God's end, so it has to be on your end. Hello. Now, we need to reflect on our faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you fail the test of genuine faith. The Message Bible reads it like this. Test yourself to make sure you're solid in faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. You know, we do things all the time to test ourselves. How many of you have a deal? You can get them at Walgreens, and you can check your blood pressure. Anybody have any of those? See, lots of hands. What are you doing? You're checking up on yourself. You're seeing if you need to make an adjustment somewhere. Hello. And you know, sometimes you maybe need some medical, but sometimes you can make an adjustment in your diet, and it can cause your blood pressure to go down. There are many different things. Maybe you can get out from under some stress. But see, here it says, test yourselves. Make sure you have solid faith. Now I'm gonna do a little meddling here. There's a lot of people that talk faith, but when the test comes, they don't have solid faith. They just talk about it. Now, I don't know. I can do this because in sports, how many of you guys played sports? Ladies can do this too. You know. Have you ever been with somebody that could talk a good game, but when you got on the field, they couldn't produce? I remember one old boy, and I just going out, and he was supposed to be so good, and he talked about how good he was, and everybody was talking about. And we got into, you know, it's in track, and we got, you know, we're practicing and stuff, and I noticed he ain't what he says he is. Now, he had the potential to be, but he didn't do what was necessary to build his stamina and build up his speed and but he could talk good. He could talk about how fast he was. But the way I found out that he talked good is because the coach lined us all up to run a sprint, and he was supposed to be so good at it, and I blew him away with no, you know. I'm just coming out there. I'm a new kid on the block, you know. And after we did that, everybody else was looking at me and said, "Man, you must really be good, because he's supposed to be good. I said, "Didn't you realize that you were right? You were one step behind him. If he's so good, he should have blew you away just like I did." "Well, yeah, I guess so." You see, I would push myself. I would run extra laps to test my endurance. Man, you gotta do that. When we were when I was going into basic training at Leonard Wood, well, we had to run the mile with a pack and our just t-shirt, fatigue pants, combat boots, and we had a pack on our back, and we're supposed to run it in 6 minutes or under. We'd already been there training for a few weeks, I guess, about half of the training period, and so we were there to run. Well, I'm 23 at that time. And a lot of the people there were 18, 19-year-old kids, you know. And so we got up there, we started running. I saw this kid, he took off. And I said, So I pulled up behind him, maybe 4 or 5 yards behind him running. Actually, I got a little closer than that. And probably about 3 yards, just right behind him. Well, first lap, I stayed there. Second lap, he kicked it up a little bit, so I kicked up. I'm staying right behind him. And we finished. He finished about 5 yards in front of me. He turned around to me, because we outdistanced everybody. He turned around to me and said, "Oh, man, I tried to lose you, and I couldn't." He said, "I just graduated from high school." This was in October, last May. "I was the number one miler in the whole state of Missouri, and I couldn't lose you." And I said, "No, you weren't about to either." I said, I ran track in high school in 56, but I said, "I know a little bit about running." And I said, "You weren't about to lose me." And you know what? Some of the rest of the group, everybody, him and all of them, they said, "Man, that Hagen guy," said, "now he's got it." Well, that's because I worked hard at what I did. The sergeants even said, "Man, you're a hard worker." I said, "Hey, I came to the boot camp. When I left, I talked to my uncles. They've been in the Army. And I made up my mind that you or nobody else I'm going to be the best soldier you ever seen." They said, "Well, you're doing a good job at it." But you see, if we're going to be good at what we're doing, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to do that. We need to look at ourselves. You know, it's in Hebrews 11:6, we all know this. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's why believing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, acting on the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of people that say they believe, and a lot of people sometimes that speak, but they don't act. You know, sometimes I hear some people talking, about the things of God. And I listen to them and I wonder if they're really fully persuaded on what they're saying. Hello now. Y'all looking at me funny. I'll tell you what, you'll find out if you're really persuaded when you find yourself in facing a situation. I did that one time. They were was in a little small plane. They were flying me from Nairobi to Kisumu, Kenya, and there was a storm come up, and the pilot put us out. He landed on a dirt strip and said, y'all go over there. There's a highway over there. Y'all go over there. Y'all catch a ride into Carrizo. Go to Carrizo. Go to the T Hotel, and you can find a ride on into Kisumu. And he gunned the plane and took off. Now, it's 1978, I think it was. I've never been in this country in my life. I'm out here in the middle of a pasture. And over there, about 200 yards, is supposed to be a main road. He said, there's an asphalt road over. I said, catch one of them deals. Well, we walked over, you know. You're in the middle. You're standing out there beside the road. In the middle of nowhere. You don't even know where you are, really. And, you know, there ain't nobody around. Don't see nobody. And then all of a sudden, walking down the road, here come somebody. I think it was a girl or somebody. And she started pointing at us and yelling. And she was a little bit away, several yards away from us. And all of a sudden, people started coming out from behind the bushes and everything else, man. I just started saying, in the name of Jesus, I claim the 91st Psalm and the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. And I said, the name of Jesus, Jesus, I claim the 91st Psalm. Jesus, I thank you that we have protection. And all of a sudden, everybody disappeared. I'm serious. But you get in a situation like that, you find out if you really believe what you've been saying you believe. Come on now. I'm talking about testing yourself. Find out if you really believe what you say you believe. I better hurry up. Now, we need to look at our progress. Reflect on our progress. Where are we compared to where we were? You know, the Apostle Paul said there in Philippians 3, no, dear brothers, I've not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Now, his focus was not on the past. He wasn't focusing on the good or the bad or anything that happened. He was focusing on what was in front of him. His progress is in front of him, and what's behind him doesn't make any difference. He could have reflected on that. Man, I built some of the biggest churches in the world at that time. Some of them probably bigger than some that we have now. If you do a little study, then you'll find out that's so. Or he could have reflected back that he was the one standing there telling all the people, throw a little harder, throw more rocks at Philip's stoning. He was the one that was holding the coats. And he was the one that was going around killing Christians. In fact, he had papers in his possession when he was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians, when God got a hold of him. But he didn't reflect on any of that. He reflected on his progress. Where am I going now? And you need to ask yourself sometimes, where do I go from here? I saw that on a marquee one time, and I had a sermon. I did a sermon back when I was about 18, 19, preaching to youth. I did a sermon on that. Where do we go from here? That's a good question to ask yourself. Hey, you've been a Christian for I don't know how long, but every one of us, all the time, we need to ask ourselves, where do we go from here? What we accomplish doesn't mean anything. You know, I was listening at the Thunder is playing tonight, and they're playing it in what is the mid-season, they call it the Cup. It's not the national championship, but they play for this. And they were talking about, well, they was talking to one of the players, and they said, man, y'all are the champions. Y'all gonna win it all. And he said, it don't make no difference that we were champions last year. That doesn't count. It's what we're doing right now that counts. And so many times Christians get to the point, God's blessed them, and they just sort of rocking along, you know. And that's when the devil's going to attack you. So you need to be always reflecting on your progress. What am I doing? What have I done lately? You know, your energies, everything you need needs to be that direction, forward. You know, people always, I hear people, even Christians, moaning about their life. And I've said it to a couple, it's been a long while back. I said, well, you're talking about what you don't have. Yeah. I said, where were you this time 5 years ago? Oh, my Lord, I didn't have nothing then at all. I said, well, you got something now, don't you? Yeah, well, I said, you ought to be thankful for it, because as long as you're going to moan and groan, you ain't going to get any more. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not going to get any more. You're not. I used to get letters about my English, but, you know, we need to realize that one of the problems with Israel was that they were moaning and groaning about being out on the road to the promised land. They said, well, we'd have been better off if we were back in Egypt. Well, they're moaning and groaning, and they forgot, hey, we had a bad life. But because things are not going the way they think they want them to go, then there's that we better off back there. I haven't heard it in a while, but I used to hear some people say, "Well, my Lord, I was in better condition before I received Christ than I am now." Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Oh, I heard some people got their hands up. You know, I'll give you a humorous thought. Someone said the reason Moses wandered in the wilderness with the children of Israel because he wouldn't ask for directions. And finally, after 40 years, Miss Moses asked God for directions, and they got there. That was what somebody said. It is a little funny. The truth was they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they wouldn't do what God asked them to do. Reflect back. Where are you? What are you doing? You know, we need to make sure that we have the right attitudes and so forth. But there's one last thing I want to leave with you. How you end this year is vitally important, because how you finish this year will determine how you enter next year. And that's going to happen in what? About 25 days or something like that, maybe, a little less than that. Ending the year and struggling and confusing and doubting and fearful is how you'll enter the new year. However, ending the year with a good attitude, expecting God to move in your life, allows you to enter into the new year the same way. So, you need to determine to finish the year on the positive side so you can start the new year in the same way. Heavenly Father, just talk to these people for a few minutes about end of a year, starting a new year, looking at their life, analyzing it, looking at where they are, where they've been, where they've come from, and where they need to go. I thank you, Father, that you'd help all of us to continue to press forward for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand. Anybody get anything out of this at all tonight? Thank you. Maybe somebody said, well, that wasn't very good. Well, it's all I had, and I gave it to you. So I've had that happen many times. You can't preach for 6-7 years without somebody telling you that. You can't, you know. Actually, I had an older minister one time said, son, if you keep trying, you're going to be all right one of these days. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you're here with us tonight, I know we don't have any visitors and everybody's home, folks, but if you need to rededicate your life or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, these people are right down here, the prayer workers, come down here and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you come in Jesus' name. Remember all the announcements. Hey, remember there's lots of people out there and cars and trains and everything else. We'll see you Sunday morning. And this is a great opportunity, like he said a while ago. Invite somebody to come. It's going to be, it's a program, but it may be a program, but it's going to present Jesus. And sometimes you can get people to come to stuff like that that you can't get them to come to hear a preacher. But the seed can be planted, okay? Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to finish the year strong. How about you? God bless. We'll see you Sunday morning right here.